and welcome to Marooned at MacBytes headquarters, day 450. How are we all doing? I'm not letting Mike get in first. No, that's not acceptable. He had to open the chat rather early because he's in the middle of a webinar and I'm not trusted. All went wrong when I did it. So, Mike, no. Tony's the winner. Yay! Congratulations, Tony. Tony can't see any chat. You're first in. That's the issue. CQ, Deb. So, who's bought anything after yesterday? Oh, silly me. Nothing to buy. I was in my course and people are giddy. Loving all of the new stuff. Things like the notes that swipe up from the corner and stuff. But they also made the point that everybody on the internet is screaming blue murder because they didn't get what they wanted. I deliberately have stayed away from it so as to not pollute my mind. So I have ruminated alone for 24 hours. Still can't fathom the MacBook Pro. It would have been the perfect time for it. So let me know what you're thinking. Hello, Renee. Are we all recovered from last night? Our wallets are fine, aren't they? That was scary. I was thinking, oh, this is going to be so bad. And it wasn't. Not at all. In other news, my stuff's still processing 7 weeks on. So sooner or later, we'll see that. So I'm presuming that you all can hear me for a start. That'd be a good start. Let me know if you can. So I haven't read any of the news. Who's kept up with the news? Let me know in the chat if you kept up with the news. I decided deliberately not to. Because it'll fall into two categories, was my logic. There'll be the uber fanboys and girls who are like, oh, it's amazing. It's totally amazing. It's life-changing. And then there'll be the normal people, which was like, what the heck was all that about? So which category? Excellent. You can hear me. That's jolly good. Which category are we in? I mean, the highlight of the entire day was the new Biggles. The full Monty. macOS, the full Monty. Now, I'm as Paul pointed out, scheduled to install that in about 2023. But you know, I've got this Mac behind me and I'm so tempted to do the beta thing. Talk me out of it. It was that memorable that Renee's totally forgotten about it. I personally think the highlight was the bingo cards. All 5,517 of them. That was my highlight. And you know, there were so many things that they said. I think we had a super excited and we had a boom. So Kim did rather well. I think Kim got to within one square of a full house. So that's very impressive, considering some of the things that were on there, like Timmy agreeing to come on MacBytes. Still no word on that. Yes, I was wondering. I'm sure I get brave enough in the end. So how come you totally forgot, Renee? Was it that memorable that it was like, yeah, blah? It wasn't what I was expecting, that was for sure. Because that guy that always gets the leaks right. And how many weeks have we heard about the laptops? So I can only assume with the laptops, they'll either leave them till September or they'll announce them next month with just a press release, which they've done before. But yesterday's presentation was crying out for some hardware, in my opinion. So that was my take on it. Now, I know Renee was after buying. Cheaper the better. Totally agree. I actually wasn't in the market for that. I have no need for that. But I would still have loved to have seen that they put the MagSafe back and that they put other stuff back, ports and things. That would have shown me the way they were thinking of going, but nothing. Crickets. Oh, well. Hello, Simon. What was your take on it? Hello, Kim. Nothing to spend money on. So Renee wasn't too impressed and was very much awaiting new hardware. It just seemed like a void in the entire presentation, which itself was quite long for a video presentation. I mean, it didn't start well, did it? What was that start? We giggled about that many years ago. I can't remember which precise one it was. It wasn't 2012. So it was either 2013 or 2014. And that was the first time. Usually they put some kind of like loud music on or some kind of video. But this particular year, it started off with two iPhones talking to each other. And Mike and I watched it. We were like, that's Siri and Lady Siri. So we think there's someone in Apple who listens to MacBytes. They ripped us off for the opening video. But since then, they've seemed to be trying too hard to me. That opening video was the same people that we had on the last video. Last time they were talking about what they'd announced. So it was as if, oh, we've got them here. You know what? Let's ask them what they do to open WWDC. And it made it like cost effective to do that. But I didn't think it worked. Didn't like the opening. They really seem to like their emojis. They do. They do. Yay, Tony's back. I just felt the opening was cheesy. Really cheesy. You can get away with a little bit of cheese if it's done in the right way. So Craig's quite cheesy. But it works. He's got that kind of delivery for it. Even though his eyebrows and hair upset Simon. Oh no, Pete it was, wasn't it? Pete who wanted the matching. There's some real OCD right there, isn't there? But I think he's capable of doing that. Then we had the cast of thousands, which was like, who are these people? So I can't say I particularly enjoyed that. So Renee didn't even need a MacBook. Mine's good enough. It's always nice to get yourself all giddy for a new tech toy. Not this time. Back to business as usual. That was the thing. Another thing they could have done, which would have worked, in my opinion, is seeing as though the shipping time on these iPads is sometime never, they could have left that and then said they're shipping this week. And that really was a pro model. That would have fitted in. It would also have fitted in nicely with the announcement that you can totally develop on an iPad. So again, that would totally have fitted everything. And it was only 6 weeks, wasn't it? It was the 23rd of April they did that. And orders were the 30th. So you were literally looking at 5 weeks from order day. Why don't you just wait? And then I think that would have balanced the entire presentation out far better than it was. Right. Hello, Anthony. You're like Timmy's floating head at the beginning and wish they'd done the whole show that way. Oh, dear, oh, dear, oh, dear. Renee was hoping it was the iPad as well. Well, I wouldn't have expected another one after the last one, but I would have bumped the last one to this presentation just to even it up. People are used to some huge announcements. I mean, let's think, last year they announced Apple Silicon, which became the M1 Mac. So it was huge. And this was incremental improvements to all of the OSs. And that was it, as far as I was concerned. But good grief, it was long and drawn out, wasn't it? With a health system that in the UK, we're not getting that. Not for the next two millennia. Our health system doesn't work like that. The investment that was made in technology in the health system was made at a certain point and left alone since. So most of the hospitals are still on like Windows XP or something like that. It goes back years. And the patches aren't there, and that's why some are hijacked. There was two huge hijack incidents where the patient records were hijacked a lot. I think one of them might have paid to get them back. Another one rolled it back, but it took days and days. And obviously the knock-on effect of that was you got people in the hospital and no access to medical records, and some younger medical staff had no idea what pen and paper was. So yeah, not good. Right. We're talking about setup, are we? Setup. Can you install it on more than one Mac? You can, but you need to pay per Mac. So new subscribers who've been there a while are grandfathered onto two. So young Jonathan's grandfathered onto two, I do believe. But now what you can do, you can pay for an extra seat. So it works on one Mac. I think you can install the setup store on another Mac, but you have to deactivate on the first one to activate on the second. But you can, if you want the same app on two Macs, buy an extra seat from them. And that is around £5 a month, I believe. Hello, Dee. Has Dee recovered yet? Not from yesterday. I mean, that was bad enough, but the day before with the gloves. Oh, that was all that was missing from that presentation yesterday. An Apple mechanical glove. Next time. Okay. So Tony says, if I download setup on the MacBook, I can't use it on the desktop Mac. My understanding, but hold on to the thought here, Tony, I don't have setup. I've got far too many of the applications that I've had for years and years to be spending money again onto setup. My understanding is you can install the app, but you can only have it active on one Mac unless you pay for an extra seat. Okay. Well, that was a joke, but I'll find it interesting to look at. Well, I looked at it, Kim, and I thought, no, we've got to the point now. It makes sense to me to track certain things like heart rate when biking and stuff like that. Steps, and you get like a heart rate thing over the day. And I think it's turned on, isn't it, to give you a warning. If your heart rate is like elevated dangerously for more than 10 minutes, something like that, it gives you some kind of warning, which happened to a young girl. I think she'd only just left home and gone to college. I think she was 17 or 18. And her watch started giving her these funny messages. And she's like, what are you talking about? You know, you need to seek medical attention. Her mom was a nurse. So she rings home and says, my watch is doing funny things. So she tells her mum what it's saying. And her mum says, get to hospital, I'll meet you there. And it turned out she had some kind of heart condition that nobody knew about. And the watch picked it up. And by this stage, she was actually quite ill, but with no symptoms. It was something to do with a kidney failure as well. Anyway, basically, it saved her life. So stuff like that. But when it gets down to like the level of sleep, I mean, when do people think you charge it? I tend to charge mine small hours of the morning. And I will take it from probably about 30-odd%. So in a day, I'll probably lose 70% battery in a day. So then I'll charge it. But I'm actually sat awake and it might only take like 70 minutes. But like Mike will take his off at night and charge it. So until they get to a charging situation where it charges by magic, you know, from body heat, I should patent that. Oh, that's a good idea. I don't see that being completely workable. But some people are totally obsessed with stats and they'll go down the any stats route. But the one thing that was missing from that health announcement that I was really hoping and that we've all talked about in the health arena was the glucose testing thing. Now, that would be revolutionary, but no mention. But they did have all those, the cast of thousands rabbiting on about all of the other things that nobody in the world is interested in. Nobody. Oh, and then they have the cardiologists on that Pete did not like. You can never get a consult with a cardiologist. No, I can imagine that because they're on the golf course. Oh, but in America, they're there, allegedly. Oh, well, we'll find out. I'll look at the pretty pictures like him and leave it alone. Dee is never going to recover. Just accept the new me and move on. No, Dee, go. It's 1985. Things like that didn't exist. And even if they did, good people like us would not know about them. You'd have to go into one of those shops with the black front and the saloon doors to discover things like that. And obviously in 1985, we were far too young to do that. So just forget it ever happened. Oh, dear me. There was nothing that said Holland on it. So do you just not have this stuff, Renee, or do you have to leave the country and take it back? How on earth does it work when they announce these things and you're totally missed out all the time? Because I think in my head, I see like France and Germany and stuff like that and just assume it's the whole of Europe, but it's not, is it? Which is bad news. I remember Steve Jobs, when he introduced the iPhone, making the point that because it was a virtual keyboard, because it was the glass on the screen, instead of having logistical issues with stock, making sure that there was a physical keyboard for every language, it obviated all that, didn't need it at all. So the world would become a much more egalitarian place. But that isn't actually happening now, is it? We're incredibly lucky that whenever he says, you know, and it's available in, it's usually America, the US, the UK, and then a few other places. But when you know somebody in one of the unsupported countries like yourself and like Alistair in New Zealand, I think it was it the books he waited for or the music? It was years, years. And you're thinking, this is ridiculous because it's in Australia, which is next door. But they just wouldn't do it in New Zealand, and I don't know why. So let us know. Kim enjoys tracking sleep, but you don't look at every day to find it that interesting. I'm with you. What I find interesting is when it resets at midnight and then I go to bed at whatever time, I'll take a look at what the steps count is. And then when I wake up, I'll sometimes have a look at what the step count is. And I find it fascinating when you're like, you've added 1,000 steps. Like, I clearly didn't sleep that well. And other times there's just zero, you know, that I've not moved at all. Last night, let's have a look at that. Last night I was fairly restful. But sometimes no. So, but like you say, it's mildly interesting, but not much beyond that. Respiratory rate you'll find interesting. Is this the overnight one? I'll have a look, but that's it. That's it, Dee. The 1985 bubble is activated. So absolutely not. We're not leaving 1985. It was a good year. Oh, apart from the tech. We need to leave 1985 for the tech. Don't we? Right, let's have a look. Oh, it looked like Deb was having a heart attack a few years ago. Got to hospital, stripped down to the waist, gave you 3 shots to bring the heart rate down. Then they said it wasn't one. It did show up on the Garmin watch. It went off the scale. That's scary. And the tech goes wrong. Kim's best friend married a doctor. That was in his residency. He knew nothing about what crazy sexual thing. Until she got married and her husband told her everything that turned up in the ER. And then she'd tell me, shocking, some of the things people do with their bodies. Well, I must admit, Kim, not a doctor in this case. Although Rachel has said when she worked on A&E, which is the same as your ED, she was only there on light rotation. She went into complex spinal care. But on this A&E rotation, she said people would come in, particularly like Friday night, Saturday night, and the things that they had done. One involved a mobile phone. And you know, we talk about your black hole. That's where it went. And I'm like, a mobile phone? I mean, first off, how? Secondly, why? But the best one I ever heard was from a friend who's he's a firefighter. And he said they were talking about somebody who got a toe stuck in a tap. And he said, would that it ended there. He said, we get a call out at least twice a month to somebody who has something else stuck up a tap or in a ring, which brought us back to Alveston and the Alveston ring. And he said, we have to use an angle grinder to get it off. And I'm like, TMI. Thank God I haven't got anything that would need an angle grinder to get it off. And I'm looking at him with like, seriously? He said, yeah, seriously. Another one was a vacuum cleaner. Somebody was having fun with a vacuum cleaner and ended up having to call the fire brigade out to extract things from the vacuum cleaner. And he said, I said, you must, you know, how you think firefighters, that they're going to go in and, you know, they're going to face a fire. And you get yourself psyched up for a call and then you get there and it's some idiot who's been doing naughties with a vacuum cleaner. Really? Does explain why they call these vacuum cleaners Henry and Hetty, though, doesn't it? You're making them too human. You're putting a face on the vacuum cleaner. This is not good. It's all right if you're of average intelligence and above, but if you are in some way something wrong with you and decide to play with the vacuum cleaner, don't put a face on it. It's bad news. It's bad, bad news. Oh, dear. Right, let's have a look. Renee wants to join the bubble, you bring your Walkman. I had a fabulous Sony Walkman. It was like, that. I had like the standard cheapy thing, about £30. And then this particular, I think it was a birthday. And we were at the Sony shop. And in his day, that was like the Apple store. And they had this beautiful, beautiful Walkman. It had like a blue strap on it. It had a radio on it. It was bigger than a standard one, but it was beautiful. And my dad bought it for me. I'm like, wow, this thing was about £200 back then. It was beautiful. I think I've still got it somewhere. obviously, I'm using my iPhone now, but it was beautiful. Was that around 1985? Do you know, it could well have been. It could well have been. He also bought me for one Christmas a Ghetto Blaster. Mum really appreciated that. Note the sarcasm. And I think that was 83. Christmas of 83. Which was possibly the Christmas after he ate me fudge. So he was trying to, just in case he felt a bit peckish, get me a decent present. He actually took me out on Christmas Eve to this local, quite a small local store that had like electronics. And I remember there was a Hitachi one and there was a Sharp one. And I went for the Hitachi one. And you know, I used that for years and years. I didn't have, in my car, I had a radio, but I didn't have a cassette player. So I used this thing into the 90s. Good grief, I must have had it about 8-9 years actually using it. And it went behind the seat of the car and it had a double tape deck on it. And the time I remember was driving down. I was at a hotel in Milton Keynes. Well, when I say a hotel, the hotel in Milton Keynes, there was only one. Milton Keynes is a strange place. They have concrete cows in Milton Keynes. That's how strange it is. And all the road signs are roundabouts, pointing to roundabouts. So you could very easily get lost in Milton Keynes. If ever there was a need for a sat-nav, Milton Keynes is where it's at. And I was driving from the hotel to the U2 concert that I was going to, and I had this Ghetto Blaster in the back. And I had a recording of a concert that they'd done in the February of 1985. By this stage, it was June. And it was blasting out. I just remember that so well. And then I got there and it had rained that week. I was knee deep in mud. I had these silly little white shoes on that went with the black outfit I was wearing. By the end of the night, I just walked back to the car barefoot and I had these shoes in my hand. And they just had to go. They were absolutely ruined. What a night that was. There you go, Dee. I told you 85 was a good year. It was a good, good year. That is genius, Renee, that you get an Apple Watch on the health insurance. I mean, obviously in this country we have the National Health Service and they don't dole out free Apple Watches. I don't think there are many doctors in this country, honestly, hand on heart, that would be able to understand an Apple Watch. Unless they've got one themselves and they're particularly interested in it. If you had an Apple Watch and you were doing the EKG readings on it and stuff, I honestly don't think many of them would trust it, believe it. They'd think it was a toy. When Mum was ill and she finally agreed that we could get the doctor out, he arrived. Fair enough, he took one look at her and said she's going to need to go into hospital for some tests. We assumed it was a heart condition. So he's on the phone to the ambulance service because if he rang, they'd take some notice. You know, if a doctor rings, they'll take some notice. Otherwise, you could find yourself waiting 5 hours. So he rang them up and the ambulance service wanted him to take a reading, one of those oxygen meter thing readings that you put a thing on the finger. And he had his medical bag with him and he said, I don't have a reader. And I looked at him and I thought, pardon? You know, you're coming out to a patient. You don't know what you're going to face. You've got your medical bag. What's in it? If you don't have like an oximeter, what's in it? An oximeter's so tiny. Put one in anyway. But no, he didn't. So I looked at him and I'm, you know, I'm hearing their half of the conversation, wanting this oxygen reading. So I pulled open the drawer next to Mum and in the top drawer, we had two oximeters. We'd used them for Dad. So I pulled one out of the case. I said, is this what you need? And he went, oh, yes, thank you. That's amazing. And pops it on her and gives them the oxygen reading. And I'm still thinking, what's in that bag? I was so fascinated. I thought it must be like a plaster and two bandages. and a pair of scissors. It was, this bag was, you know, a reasonable size bag for a doctor, like a black Gladstone bag type thing. And I'm thinking possibly a stethoscope. But beyond that, I don't know, was the answer. So it was a good job that I had that. Oh, Renee was in the posh crew with a mini disc Walkman. No, I never did the mini disc thing. That was one thing I never, ever did that. A Sony Walkman in a fab blue case. I don't think I had a case for mine. I do remember buying it, though. I bought my own the first time. Absolutely loved it. Dee saw a story where a woman was on a date and she went into the guy's bathroom, clogged the toilet, so embarrassed, put it in a bag, threw it out the window, got stuck in the window. I remember that. I saw it. Oh, that was bad news. And I think, do you ever see a programme called Station 19? It's based in Chicago, I think, isn't it? Isn't it part of Chicago Med? Or am I getting confused with which one? No, it's the woman in Seattle, isn't it? Right, because there's also Chicago Fire, I think, but I've never seen that. No, it was the one based in Seattle with Bailey's husband in it. And they did a flashback to one of the firefighters' first call-outs, and that was the story. And I thought, that's based on a real story, I know that. But absolute classic, absolute classic. Oh, dear. Oh, Kim never had a Walkman. He was a knockoff from Radio Shack Tandy. Do you know, the alternative ones were often just as good. And at the time, I wouldn't call it a Walkman. I always called it a Walk Person. But that was me, young and crazy. Renee worked at Radio Shack. Amazing. I love Tandy. Oh, it's Tandy in the UK, like it is in Holland. I love Tandy. Go in there and spend hours looking for like little bits and pieces. They always had stuff like that in stock. And then, of course, they went bump because people were like buying stuff and they weren't making it. Oh, it was the geek's paradise, that place. Loved it. Dee, we know you don't just randomly bring up poo hiding stories. Oh, dear, oh, dear. Oh, Anthony's still got his Sony Walkman. Well, for listening to audiobooks on cassette, I thought better to get two, as you might not be able to buy them anymore. Don't use it now with Audible. I must admit, I did buy, well after it was trendy, it was a Walkman, but it was a particular kind. It had on it a USB port. So it will plug in to your computer via USB. And I thought, I'm going to get a spare, like you're saying, because I've got tapes in here all over the place. I actually think I brought some tapes up and they're in the wardrobe. And then when we converted the bedroom into an office, they just got left in the wardrobe. But the wardrobe doesn't really look like a wardrobe now. And now it's not got clothes in it. It's got other stuff in it. And I think these boxes are at the bottom of the wardrobe. And what I'm thinking is, I bet if I dragged these boxes out, one, I'd get a lot more space back, and two, everything will be on Spotify anyway. So all of those type of tapes I can get rid of. Mike and I had two mixtapes when we were young and impressionable. We had two mixtapes. One I made him and one he made me. And we turned them into Spotify playlists and shared them. The other type of tape I've got is stuff that I recorded years ago. So it wouldn't be like music. It would be lectures and stuff that sessions that I delivered when we did like the equivalent of a viva is called a moot in the law. So you would do a moot and it was like a fake case that you did. And I've got recordings of those. So they would be hysterical to listen to now. So I made sure that I'd got two of these devices. Just in case I wanted to convert one. Otherwise, I'd have to play it and hook it up in all kinds of ways. Oh, happy days, hey? Happy, happy days. Thing with tapes was that was great. We don't really have anything equivalent these days, do we? I guess you've got memory cards, but you know what I mean. But the tapes, they were like inexpensive. I think with a tape, I could get them for about 30 pence each. So I might pay £3 and get 10 tapes. You know, if there wasn't, if you took it out with you and you dropped it, it wasn't a crisis. Because I always had like a duplicate at home. Hence this ghetto blaster with the two decks. You could dub one to the other. So I always had spares at home. I would only ever take out a copy and leave the original at home. and then make a duplicate if I needed it. That was great. I loved that. Oh, yes. You're bringing back all happy memories here. Oh, Kim has great poo stories. My parents renovated the house and everyone had to use a bucket. Oh, good grief. Oh, Dee, this is genius. It happened to Dee once. We had to use a bucket in the shed. Sat there on the bucket next to the lawnmower. You right, was white trash right then and there. Oh, good grief. Something similar, but in a different way. You know, we talked about... Oh, he's back. You okay?
Yes.
Oh, jolly good.
I'm hot.
We're talking poo stories. You'll be right at home. Get the chat up quick.
Talking of which...
Oh, right, off you toddle. TMI. No. Get back in that 85 bubble, quickly. We needed to have the toilet replaced. And the toilet had been the bane of our life since we moved into the house. And Mum had kept it going. She, like, got a book about plumbing out of the library. And every time, it's not working again, Mum, she would fix it. She was amazing. But she decided that we'd had enough and the time had come. We were going to have to change it. So she'd agreed to it and it needed to be done. But at the time, Dad wasn't very well. So he was downstairs. He was living downstairs. And the only time he ventured upstairs was for the toilet. So she said to him, we're going to have to sort the toilet out. So I'm going to make sure that you're okay. You know, the rest of us will just have to cope. I'm going to make sure you're okay. And we had... what would they be called? I think the name was like porta potty, but it was a proper toilet, a chemical toilet. So that was what we were going to have to use. But what he had got, because he was on this cancer thing, I think he died about 4 or 5 months later. So he was really seriously ill at the time. They'd got a commode. So she set this commode up, like you're saying, in the shed. So yeah, he was next to the lawnmower, but she set it up so nicely. He had like a little shelf that he could put his books on and stuff. Oh, it was like home from home. Just sat next to the lawnmower. Well, the grand day came. Oh, and the caveat was, I'm not having anybody in to do. I'm not having a plumber in to sort out the toilet, to refit it, unless it's a woman. I'm like, where am I going to get a lady plumber? But I managed to find one. So she turned up to do the job. So she took the toilet out. And she said she'd try and get it out in one piece, but it'd been there that long that the bottom broke off. So she gets it outside. So bear in mind, the toilet is in the garden at this stage. Well, Dad decides he needs to go. So Mum says, I've sorted it all out in the shed. I don't want to use the shed. I don't want to go to the shed. Mum just looked at him like, are you insane? He said, I want to go to the toilet upstairs. And she said, what part of the toilet's in the garden don't you get? And he couldn't grasp it. I don't know whether he was like panicked. He couldn't grasp it. She had to take him out to the garden and show him the old toilet, which by this stage was underneath the kitchen window. And he just looked and she went, so I've set it up in the shed. Well, talk about, he argued for like an hour. And she said, look, you're either going to have to do it where you stand or go in the shed. Eventually, we got him in the shed. Oh, good grief. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Oh, happy, happy days or not. All right, let's have a look. Oh, Renee says, doctor friend of his told him he'd got a gay patient telling him he had a pain in his bum. Doctor refused to help him since he'd noticed the guy had a crush on him. The guy persisted. Eventually, the doctor checked, pulled out a rose. Ah! And at that moment, the guy smiled and said, this one's for you.
Ah! Sounds like a joke.
Ah! Oh, my word. Yep, get back in the 85 bubble. There are no words for this. Let's get back to Radio Shack and all that they had. Good idea, Renee. They did bring well-known brands under their own brand, Memorex. I remember Memorex tapes. I did have some Memorex tapes.
There's my toy.
Hmm?
There's my toy.
Oh, cool. Oh, let's have a look. I don't think anything got lost in translation. Not for the rest of us, Renee. If it did, don't worry. Just get back in the bubble and stay there. Oh, Kim says it was winter, so we could set things out outside to freeze in the trash bags, and my mum would take the bag to my father's work and flush it down the toilet. She drove a pickup truck and had the bags in the back of the truck. While she stopped to go to the grocery store, someone stole them. Imagine what the thief was thinking when he opened the bags. Well, there's karma right there.
Why are we talking about the toilet?
Oh, it's a long story, Mike. Never mind, move along. That reminds me of when we got pulled up by the police.
I was just going to tell that story.
That was a classic. Where you go?
We were somewhere.
Oh.
Where were we?
Bowlers.
That's right. We were at Bowlers, which was a computer fair. And it was well known for dodgy software.
What would happen was there was a computer fair and that was the inside bit. You paid to go in and you could buy things like blank CDs, DVDs, computers, whatever you needed. But because this official fair attracted a huge audience, outside before it started, there were people who just set up a little Vinnie's table.
Plastic bag man.
Yeah, but they would walk around with plastic bags with CDs in, and they would be two things. There would be movies that people had like taken a video camera into the cinema and recorded one, and you could buy it for a couple of quid. And the other thing it would be was software. So away you go. That's where we were. And we were leaving there, and we drove to a cafe, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It was like a diner, which is quite unusual for Manchester, but it was a diner. And I can't remember why we stopped. I don't know why we pulled into the diner.
No idea.
But we pulled into the diner. And that was when we got frisked, wasn't it?
Yeah. So these coppers came along and said, what are you doing? And we said, nothing. Said, can we have a look in your boot, please? Or trunk, as they call it in the States. And I said, you better be careful if you look in there. I said, there's a load of dog poo, which I'm taking to the tip.
What they were looking for was this contraband. And what the police used
dodgy
to do
CDs.
With it, yeah, but you know this, don't you, because you work there. What they'd do with them is they'd confiscate them. And obviously, if you're dealing, we weren't dealing. We may have purchased some, but we weren't selling. So if you were buying, that was fine. You know, they didn't touch you. But if you were selling, then they did. So they confiscated the stuff. Very few people ever got arrested, but they did confiscate the stuff. And the reason that we called it Vinnie's Table was this particular raid that happened by the police. They took the table with them. And it was like, they took Vinnie's table. Oh, yeah, those coppers, yeah, they made off with Vinnie's table. So it became a standing joke, that. But what they were looking for was people who were dealing. And they obviously thought, because we'd pulled up in this diner, that we were maybe going to set up shop there. So they asked if they could look in the boot. Now, to be honest, they can't. Can they without a warrant?
No.
But you'd have looked well dicey if you'd have said no. So in the back of the car, there were two bags of rubbish. And one of these bags was all the dog poo. So once they opened it and smelt it, it was like, yeah, they're not dealing. Not in that, they're not anyway. Oh, that was a classic. Oh, I'm loving it.
For anyone who wants to know what Danny's table was.
Vinnie's table.
Vinnie's table.
Vinnie's table was, it was a table we actually had. So what happened in the UK at the time, there was a lot of things about people wanting to watch TV while they were eating. So people would buy these little, what they called TV tables, and they were about probably 18 inches across and about 15 inches front to back. They were wood and they folded up. So they had like a deck chair mechanism underneath them. So it was really quick to get them up, and that's what people use them for. But all of these guys who were dealing had a table, because otherwise, you know, you'd be scrambling around on the floor. And what they would do with these tables were, if there was a raid, they'd grab the discs and they'd grab the table and leg it. But this particular time, maybe to get away quickly, the guy left the table there and the coppers made off with it. So it's no.
They've taken Vinnie's table. They've taken Vinnie's table.
Oh, honestly, we were never like, at the end of it.
It was Vinnie.
This went on for weeks, and I'm thinking maybe not call the guy Vinnie, because then the police know he's called Vinnie. It's just a classic. Do you know my mum used to come with us, didn't she, on raids like that?
Yeah.
And of course we were pretty well known because we had Maya with us. So Maya had seen the police off. Oh, but it was like, oh, the cops are coming. Because the thing was, this was a dead end. It was an almighty big industrial park, but it was in essence a dead end. There was nowhere to go if the police arrived. It's like, the coppers are coming, and they'd have lookouts at the top of the road. So by the time you could see the police coming for like half a mile, everyone would just disperse, and it'd be like, oh yeah, just walking the dog. Yep, just waiting for bowlers to open, walking the dog. And you'd see people hiding in the bushes. And another thing they'd do is they'd take their bag with the discs in, and they'd like throw it in a tree. And then when the police had gone, they'd come back and retrieve it from the tree and carry on selling. You just didn't need to be caught with the discs if you were selling.
Or buying.
Well, that was interesting, because I remember the worst one I remember, we did have Mum with us and we did have the dog. Mind you, police probably left us alone because of the dog, because he looked quite fierce. Well, he had his moments. He certainly wouldn't have liked somebody frisking his mum, I can assure you of that. But there was me, Mike, Maya and Mum, and we were just, cops are coming, don't run, just amble back to the car. And I thought, it's all right ambling back to the car. It's not you that's got the discs secreted about your person. They're in my pockets. Oh, it was the happy days. Happy, happy days. Oh, good grief. I bet, Renee, whether your story was a joke or not, I bet somebody's done that. I bet you. And she remembers one where the lady had just picked up her little dog's business and was looking around for a bin when a hooligan on a bike came along and swiped the bag. Do you know, if they're that stupid, Anthony, I can imagine they actually ended up smoking that. This could explain a lot about youth today, couldn't it? Absolute classic. Yeah, no, not Danny's table, Vinny's table. Let's have a look at that. Oh, I did see the one where that woman threw the cat in the wheelie bin. That was a good few years ago, wasn't it? I mean, why? She just wandered along. I mean, she actually stopped and stroked it, didn't she? I remember this.
I remember that.
Looked round a bit and then threw the cat in the bin. I mean, what goes through your mind? Oh, and she's actually looking round as though, is anybody looking? Unbelievable. Absolutely. Didn't she get arrested for that in the end? Imagine the trauma for the poor cat. And then she just walks off. And, you know, it would be more understandable if it was a kid who was just having a gag. But that is a grown woman. There are no words for people like that. Oh, no, it says an RSPCA investigation was launched. They're not allowed to launch anymore. I don't think they do their own investigations, or they're not allowed to prosecute. They just changed the rules a few weeks ago. The cat's name was Lola. I don't think anybody would throw Lola into
Lola
a dustbin.
Lola Bear.
They'd have a heck of a scrap on their hands if they did. It's appalling, isn't it? That did the rounds when 2010, it says. But I'm sure they threw something in about her having mental health issues, obviously. But I'm sure she did get arrested for that and put on trial, and so she should have been. Unbelievable. I mean, yeah, if the cat had been nasty or something, but the cat was quite sweet. But something like that, the cat will remember forever. Mike's neighbour, when I met him, had a cat called Oscar. And he had such a personality, didn't he, Oscar?
He did.
But he'd been abused as a kitten. So he was really prickly. He did not like you. He was okay if you're petting him, but picking him up and cuddling him, no chance. He wasn't the type of cat that would crawl on you and like sit on your lap and let you pet him. Not at all. But, you know, he tolerated us. We were nice to him. We had cream and milk and cheese, and he loved it. Oh, and the fish finger that we gave him.
Oh, yeah.
Mike's microwave had a mind of its own. We were trying to defrost a fish finger. We put it in for 10 seconds. When we took it out, it was like a piece of wood. And I said, it's nuked it in 10 seconds. So the cat comes in. I said, it'll only be like a cat treat, you know, that the cat can chew on for days. And the cat did. He sat there chewing it for about a day and a half. So he loved it. So he tolerated us. But it was so sad that, you know, he was very untrusting because he'd been abused. The only person he ever, like, wandered up to and rubbed himself against his legs and then jumped on his lap was my dad. And my dad was like Dr. Doolittle with animals. He really was. But he lived on a farm. He was evacuated to a farm in the war. So he was, him and animals were like as one. The only time I got a cuddle from Oscar was really surprising. I was staying with Mike. I think it was, you know, remember when we used to see each other on a Wednesday? Mm. It must have been a Thursday
Wednesday
morning.
Wednesday dates.
Wednesday dates. It was a Thursday morning and I'm sat on the edge of the bed and the cat comes in. I said, good morning, Oscar. He wandered over to me and started climbing up me. So he was on like my leg and then he like moved his front paws up to my shoulder. And I'm like, good grief. So I put my arms around him and he was absolutely fine. And I thought, this is amazing. Because I'd known the cat by then about 2 years and he'd never, ever done that. So I'm petting him and stroking him. And Mike walked in and went, good grief. I said, that's what I was thinking. Wow. Sadly, that was the last time I saw him because he was run over by a car that night. And I always remember, I wondered, you know, animals and their sixth sense. That was the only time he had ever, ever been that close to me and let me pet him like that. So sad, even adorable cat, adorable cat. But yeah, people like that, there's no place for them. Why don't we throw her into a skip and leave her there with the lid on for however long it took to save the cat? And you know when people when people say that and somebody else says, yes, but could you do it yourself? Yes, hold me beer. I'll be back when I'm finished. Yes, I could do that. Oh. Right, let's catch up. £250 fine. Oh, you know, unbelievable. I think the bin costs more than that. If you want to replace your bin, I think they're about £350, £400. Absolute joke. Dee said, although I saw this in the article, it was awful, but these people are silly. Thousands of people signed Facebook pages claiming Mary Bale is worse than Hitler and calling for the death penalty for Mary Bale. She attracted newspaper headlines from It's a Fur Cop to Meow Could She? I just think she must have had something wrong with her. But people like that shouldn't walk the streets with the rest of us. That was a cat. What would she do to a kid? She probably already lives in a skip. Well, that's a good point. She did actually look to me, though, as though she was on her way to work, like a teacher or something. You know, I mean, you do see some sights out, don't you? When you know when people go shopping in their onesies with a house coat on and the supermarkets have to put up signs that says, can you please wear clothes?
That's usually in Tesco's in Salford.
I saw that the first time. I think you told me. And I'm like, you are? What? I mean, you go out shopping in your night clothes. What's wrong with these people? But she looked quite smart, like she's on her way to work. So she's not some kind of unemployable idiot. Oh, there are no words for people like that. But I don't think she had a pleasant life afterwards, put it like that. Because her face and name was all over the place. Oh. He didn't see anything about mental health. Just said she was stressed. She thought it'd be funny. How is that funny? You're not sharing it with anybody, because if you shared it with anybody, then they'd have you arrested, which was what happened. So I don't see that as like funny. That's got a screw loose. I thought she said, when it got to court, I thought her barrister or representative said, you know, that she had mental health issues. But to be honest, back then, I was stressed. That would be referred to as a mental health issue these days. I mean, who hasn't got a mental health issue these days? If you've not, you're not trendy. Apparently. And I thought, I actually feel quite normal. Maybe that's a mental health issue in itself. I don't feel I've got a mental health issue. Oh, good grief. Exactly, Renee. Funny for who? It makes no sense. Most people who do stupid things. Do you remember that mate of yours? Mobs.
Yeah.
Who came out of the pub absolutely paralytic and thought it'd be a good idea to run down the street. Mm. And promptly impaled himself on some barrier or something.
Barbed wire, wasn't it?
I don't know. I thought the fence must have been like broken. You know, like a safety guard that's like a grill. Well, somebody must have twisted it. And as he ran and like pushed himself against it to stop himself running into the road, this thing went into his leg. And he ended up, God, there must have been about 30 stitches, wasn't there? The scar was horrific.
He needed plastic surgery, I think.
Yeah, it was bad news. You know, he thought it would be funny to run down the street. Well, yeah, it would have been if you hadn't have impaled yourself on the fence at the end of it. But that was because he had an audience. But by definition, she looked round to make sure nobody had seen. It's just so cold and cruel and calculating. I mean, if she was having a pop at another human being, then that human being could fight back, but the cat stood no chance. I'm sure the karma would have been evil. Hello, Sarah! Kim's shocked. People go to the stores in the bedclothes. What in the world? Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely they do. You should see the sights. But, I mean, it must be bad. I mean, if it's a one-off, you know, like I'm in a rush and I need to get some medicine for my child, I didn't have time to get dressed, is one thing. But no, these people are like wearing a onesie, like a bedtime pyjama-y onesie, as if it's proper clothes. There are no words. There are literally no words. But I think it must be bad. Like, it's not a one-off if they have to put a sign up telling people to wear clothes. I mean, this isn't like... The only other time I'd seen something like that was on an invitation to, like, a party, and it says dress code. But in a shop, only ever once had I seen that, and it was Harrods in London. And Harrods do have, when you... Harrods is a huge store, and it has multiple entrances and exits. And at every entrance and exit, you will see this sign that's there. You're not allowed shorts, you're not allowed flip-flops. There is a dress code. There is a dress code.
Unless you're Marcel Desailly.
Oh, he had flip-flops on, yeah. Didn't he? He didn't have Chelsea flip-flops on. But you see, he was a footballer, so he was allowed in his flip-flops.
He could probably buy Harrods.
Yeah, the rest of us know. We had to make sure we were fully attired. But funnily enough, coincidentally, once I leave the house, I do tend to be fully attired. Unlike some people, clearly. And Harrods has this beautiful, I mean, the most popular door at Harrods, there is like, it's a department store. So on the outside, you've got like window displays, like in the old days. And there is a beautiful window display around one of the doors. And it's like a mini sculpture in gold, I think. And it's to Dodi and Diana, because obviously Muhammad Al-Fayed owned Harrods. And it's beautiful. It's absolutely beautiful. You know, and they put that up within like a couple of weeks of them dying. And we're still waiting for the Diana statue. What are we now? 23, 24 years on? Apparently it's coming in the summer. It would have been her 60th birthday on the 30th of July, I believe. So the statue is coming later. Coming later. But it's taken a while. But he put that up straight away and it's absolutely gorgeous. Oh, you see, Dee says, in rougher areas, I always see women in PJs. You see, this is a thing, clearly. And Renee's running behind with his lighthouse. Not to worry, you'll get there. You'll get there. People dress normally where Renee is. Clearly, you are in a fantastic area, Renee. I mean, I must admit, they do where we are, thankfully. This area is to the southwest of Manchester, isn't it, Salford?
Yeah.
I mean, it's a poor area in terms of jobs, etc. And like housing where they're on top of one another. And I guess that, you know, if you're not going to work, they're just thinking, well, I'm not going to get dressed. But I do need to go shopping, so I'll go get shopping. So they had to put this sign up. It still makes me giggle, though, because I'm thinking, I wouldn't want to be seen outside the house in my nightclothes. That did actually happen once, but the house was on fire at the time. So you remember I told you when Mum had a fire and I was ill and I was in bed and obviously I was in my nightclothes. I hadn't got out of bed. I was ill. Then the house was on fire and we know that. What did you grab? Not even my clothes did I grab. Luckily, this nightdress went from neck to foot. Think kind of 1910. That's my stuff. I do remember when I mentioned on a Mac Bites Live a few years ago, we had a friend in there called Nick, Nickintosh. And she was saying like, blah, blah, blah. And I said, I don't own a pair of jeans. And she went, oh, what do you wear? I thought there are other clothes other than jeans. She couldn't grasp it at all. So she said, well, you know, what do you wear? I said, crinoline. And it stuck. So if you think of me attired as like something out of Downton Abbey, you'd probably be right. Not jeans. Never. Never, ever. Oh, I did have a pair of jogging pants once, didn't I?
Yeah.
Yeah, but I wore those out. So I never got another pair. One was enough. Oh, dear. people do need to sleep in their sweats and a t-shirt if they go into the store. That's what they sleep in. Oh, and you have Carnival. I bet they look amazing then. If the house is on fire, anything's acceptable. That's how I took it, Kim. So I was sat in the back of a fire engine with two firemen with me and a bottle of oxygen. And they insisted that I have this oxygen. I said, I'm fine. No, you've got to have this oxygen. And the rationale was, you know, like round your nose where you've been breathing, just walking out, well, running out of the house when it was on fire, you've got like black soot round your nose. And if it's round your nose, you could have inhaled it. So they give you a ton of oxygen, then you start coughing, and then it all gets coughed up. It doesn't get internalised. So there's me in the back. I'm thinking, you know, Mom, you could have waited till I had some clothes on. I think I did get some clothes on by the time we got to hospital. Because it was like, no, I'm not going. We called two ambulances, he said. I said, I'm not going till I've got some clothes on. Absolutely unbelievable. He's afraid something will happen if I'm on the toilet or the bucket. Is the bucket still there? Do you still have the bucket? I think we've still got the commode. I think it's in the garage.
It is in the garage.
Oh, these look amazing. Look at that hat. Is that Kermit on the hat?
I've just seen it.
Oh, I'm loving that. And there's a bird. Oh, that's fantastic. We do have the Notting Hill Carnival in the UK. Notting Hill is an area in North London. But I've never been to it or anything. Hasn't that been kind of turned into like... Oh, we have Pride in Manchester, don't we?
Yeah.
The Pride March, but I don't know if that's happening this year. We have a St Patrick's Day March and we have the Pride March, which is like a real party. I always remember Dad struggling with that. It's like, we'll take you to Pride if you like. And he's like, no, you're all right. He couldn't cope with Boy George, much less anything more exotic. Oh, poor Dad. Okay, so we weren't exactly... We did the what we thought about yesterday, and we were all disappointed that there wasn't new hardware, even if we weren't buying it.
So yeah, that's what Nicholas pinged me this morning and said, I presume you watched the keynote. What do you think? I said, same old, blah, blah, no hardware. He said, that's what I thought.
Exactly. Anyway... I don't expect we're going to hear much more from Apple. There'll be a couple of awards for the software. I think actually I was probably more disappointed we didn't at least get an update on Affinity Publisher for iPad, because that's going to bump it forward till at least September, isn't it? Oh, darn it. I had high hope. It doesn't even feel like we'll get it this year. And the reason that I'm like, I hope that comes out, is once... they've got their full range. Once they've got Publisher on the iPad, then they can concentrate on Affinity Bridge, the code name for their digital asset manager, which would mean that I could dump Bridge and I could dump PixSave and I could dump DevonThink to do asset management. It would all be in one place. But there is literally no sign of that at all at the moment. So, never mind. Publisher's taking so long, you'd have imagined it'd be quicker after doing the others. Well, they do use the same code base, so would I. It actually makes very little sense unless when it comes out, they bump all of the apps up to version 2 and charge you for an update. Then it might make sense. But then... mind you, well, February was when they did the data merge, and I was thinking that data merge was such a big feature that they wouldn't add that until version 2, and they did. And that's great, you know, it came out earlier. If you had to wait till September for that, you know, then we wouldn't have been doing the bingo cards and things. But it's great that you've already got it. And the issue now is, I'm just thinking, what can they add in version 2 to make it worth the upgrade in people's minds? Because if it was like, oh, and it now does data merge, that's huge. That's a huge, huge feature. But what about everything else? And I'm waiting for my mind to be boggled about what they add. They could do vector tracing. There is a vector tracing app, if that is something that you are desperate for. I think we've demonstrated it on After Hours. And that's just had an update as well. It's just gone to being a pro version. Let me have a look. I think this is about £20. and it's the one that I use, Super Vectorizer Pro. So it is Super Vectorizer Pro. There we go. Good night, Kim. Did I talk about the news from Mailplane yet? No, Simon, but I'm gutted. Mailplane is RIP. And it's RIP because of API issues with Google. And I said to Mike, for crying out loud, you know, I use that all day, every day. All day, every day. It isn't so much a mail client as it is a wrapper around the web pages, and that's the problem. If it's a fully fledged mail client using a dedicated API, then it will still work, but it's not. It's just wrapping around the pages and giving you like extra features by wrapping around the pages. And because of that, the changes to the API mean that they're not selling it anymore, and that their take on it is, that's it, we'll try and keep it up to date, but if something fundamentally changes with the API and you get no access, then there's nothing they can do anymore. So I think what I'll have to do with mine is host it in the browser. It will give me a problem though, because I was relying on the features of Mailplane to give me selective notifications. So when I say selective notifications, I don't want Mailplane pinging me every time there's a mail, I get nothing done. What I do is I add a secondary account, and mails that arrive at that secondary account give me notifications. How the mails get to the secondary account is that certain mails, if it's from Mike, if it's from Scrivener Beta, or if it's from the church, the parish secretary, they automatically get forward to the secondary account, and the secondary account is the only account, that's the only mail that goes to it, and it's the only account that has notifications. That's going to be much trickier in a browser. So I'm pondering that at the moment. One option I've got, which might work, I'll have to have a go with it. It might work. I can create site-specific apps in Microsoft Edge. And they work great. And that's how I use Roam. So although I could have Roam open in my browser, it makes more sense that I just, you know, use Alfred, type Roam, boom, I've got one page that's Roam. And it works fantastically. So I'm thinking that's possibly a way to create. So when it totally stops working, I'll just create a dedicated browser called Mailplane and carry on using it. I'll have three tabs open in that one, though, and see how that works. So fingers crossed that that'll do it. I'll have to have a play around with it now, though, because there's no point waiting till the second that it breaks. Oh, dear, oh, dear, oh, dear. Right. Oh, I did it again. Renee now wants Vectorizer Pro. Did do a demo on that. Renee's appetite for software can never be satiated. You're quite right. Oh, you're quite right. Dear, dear me. But it is good. It does work very well, Renee. It's probably not as nuanced as the one in Illustrator, but it is a flat fee. I think it has been on offer before. So there's going to be two ways of buying it. One through the App Store at £20 at the moment. Sometimes there's an offer on it at like Stack Social. So let me have a look at Stack Social and see if there is an offer at the moment. Because interestingly, they have literally just yesterday. That update came yesterday. You've got Vectorizer Standard. Mine automatically upgraded to Pro. So do check that before you make any purchases. Right. Super Vectorizer. What we got? Vector Plan. No. Nope. There's no offers on it at the moment, unfortunately. But that's the nearest I've got to it. And it's done pretty much everything I wanted it to do. What I do find is I probably use it less than I did before. One of the things that I would be using it for is when I'm putting presentations together and I need a brand logo. I will get a brand logo and it'll be tiny and I'll need to vectorize it. And what I've done since is there's two sites that do brand logos and they're SVG. So it's fantastic. So I get the full thing and I don't need to fiddle around with it at all. But no, there's no offer on there at the moment. Might come up, might not. But, you know, in the meanwhile, do we know when that was, Mike? a super vectorizer. I'm sure I demoed it. Super vectorizer. I'm in Notion. Let's see what a mood it's in. Super vectorizer. Now I've got a suggested content item. Was that never done? Thought it was. Got it mentioned about 19 different times. Right, let's take the first one and see what it says. I actually had that down for next week. So I could show you what it does on Friday, unless you're in a panic to buy it. I saw Tony's designs yesterday. Are they the same ones? I will go and I will have a look. I will. Because I've got another idea for Friday. So we will head off and sort that out, because we've got about 20 minutes, haven't we, before a session?
Mm.
Which is unusual. I've not got time for much these days. But my course is finishing in 6 or 7 sessions' time. So I'm on the home straight. I am telling everybody I am on the home straight. I'm getting there. So we will say goodnight to you for tonight, but we will be back with you tomorrow. So for the moment, it's goodnight from me.
And a goodnight from me.
We will both see you next time. Stay safe, guys.